Welcome to CPAC Today in Politics. Coming up, a decision is expected tomorrow on the Trans Mountain Pipeline expansion.
On June 18th, we are to be told, most likely, that this project is now approved and that the people of Canada will spend another $10 to $13 billion additionally to push a pipeline through British Columbia territories.
The newly released NDP election platform makes ambitious promises about health care.
Millions of Canadians are worried about being able to access the medication they need. In fact, people are living with pain because they can't afford to see a dentist. Families go to the eye doctor, and they're hoping against hope that the prescription hasn't changed because they can't afford a new set of eyeglasses.
And Justin Trudeau prepares for his visit this week to Washington.
He has to make the pitch to Donald Trump that, look, we're your strongest ally. We have all these international alliances that we're part of together. We need you to go to bat here on a couple of fronts.
It's Monday, June 17th. I'm Mark Sutcliffe. Let's get right to the top political stories this morning. I'm joined by Peter Van Dusen, CPAC's executive producer and the host of Primetime Politics. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Mark.
There certainly is a lot going on as we start the final week of this spring session of Parliament. We will rise for the summer sometime later this week, and then we'll be right into an election campaign. And, of course, we've got the Prime Minister going to Washington. We've got Andrew Scheer making an announcement on the Conservative climate change strategy, a decision coming on the Trans Mountain Pipeline. And yesterday, the NDP unveiled many elements of its election platform. So let's start with the Trans Mountain Pipeline. What do you expect the government will announce this week?
Yeah, it'll be the last week of Parliament, Mark. The Senate will probably sit an extra week to try and clear the remaining government legislation, depending on what gets through the House of Commons this week. And then I think there's a pretty high probability that Parliament will be recalled at some point during the summer to finish up with the new trade deal with the United States, depending on what happens in the U.S. Congress. But yeah, let's talk about pipelines. I think that decision is supposed to come on Tuesday, probably following the morning cabinet meeting, when we'll hear the government's decision on whether it plans to push ahead with building the Trans Mountain Pipeline expansion. Hard to think that the decision will be anything but a yes, given that they first approved it. They were sent back to the drawing board almost 300 days ago now to do more consultation. And now it's back. But in the intervening time, I know Canadians know that the government shelled out $4.5 billion to buy a pipeline. So it's hard to think they would buy the pipeline and then announce they've decided not to build the pipeline. So I think the decision is going to be yes. That won't be the end of the process, I don't think. You're going to see more court challenges. You're going to see lots more protests, I think. But we should see the resumption of construction, notwithstanding all of that, since the government's now driving the bus. So I think if it were still in the hands of a private company, Kinder Morgan, they might, obviously they didn't want to proceed. And if all this was still going on, they'd probably not want to push ahead with construction until they got some kind of certainty around the project. But this is the federal government. They own the pipeline. I think you'll see it push ahead. And also, I think we can look to the fact that Bill Morneau, the finance minister, is in Alberta the day after this decision on Wednesday, talking about how the government supports energy development in this country. So I don't think he'd be in a rush to go to Alberta if the decision was we've decided not to build a pipeline.
All right, let's turn to Andrew Scheer. I don't think it's overstating things to say this is a crucial announcement for Andrew Scheer. The Conservatives are ahead in many of the polls, but I think there are people who feel that if he doesn't get it right on climate change and on an alternative to the Liberal carbon price, which he's been campaigning against for so long without an alternative proposal of his own, that it could be fatal for the Conservatives. So what do you expect from Scheer's announcement, and how big do you think it is?
Yeah, you know, I think it's clearly big for the Conservatives, and the question is how big. What have they decided? What have they decided they think they can sell to Canadians as a better alternative to a carbon tax that's going to have a meaningful effect in dealing with climate change? And I think we've had lots of hints that part of this plan is going to be about what Canada can do for other countries. So exporting, green technology and getting credit for that. And, incentives to try and, increase green technology and regulation. I think, you know, will it stand up to really close scrutiny? I guess that's the challenge. It's going to have to be something that experts look at. Even the people who've been, you know, Tory naysayers look at this and go, you know what, okay, this is better than we expected. If it gets attacked from all sides, because on the other side of the spectrum, Mark, the Liberals, the Greens, and the Democrats are, you know, the Liberals less, but the Greens and New Democrats, everybody's trying to outdo each other to be, you know, the leaders on climate. If he's so far behind that pack, I think that makes it a really uphill battle for the Conservatives.
All right. We'll watch to see what comes from that announcement. The NDP, meanwhile, has unveiled major elements of its campaign platform, even though the election is still 4 months away. And as part of what they are describing as a new deal for Canada, there are sweeping reforms to health care, including a major expansion of what will be paid for by the government going forward. What stands out to you from that and from the rest of the platform?
Well, what stands out to me more than anything else is the strategy. You know, I think what we're seeing here is New Democrats are, you know, they're looking at the polls, they're looking at what other parties are doing and go, you know, we're quickly being forgotten here. And so I think, you know, a lot of political experts and strategists would say it's, you know, it's maybe it's not a good idea to tell people what you're all about this far ahead of an election campaign before the official writ drop. But, you know, I think looking at it, I think there's an argument to be made that they can't afford not to tell people what they stand for. Everybody else is talking about how the NDP is being forgotten, being left in the dust, that Jagmeet Singh has got not catching on, that he's not connecting with Canadians. So I think they've made a calculated decision here that we need to start rolling stuff out and get out ahead of the others and actually tell people what we are prepared to do and give them some time to think about it. Because if they don't do it now, by the time they get around to doing it, everybody else will have decided what role the NDP is going to play in the election campaign, and it may not be very favorable to the party. So I think they're making a decision to put it out there now, and it's a complete change from what we saw from the NDP in 2015, which was balanced budgets and not a whole lot of stuff in the window, not a whole lot of programs other than a $15 a day national daycare program. The NDP is putting everything in the window. They're going to blow the bank here. That's the other thing, is that none of this is, very little of it's costed out. But, you know, they're betting on the fact that Canadians have been kind of conditioned by the Liberals that, you know, deficits are not a bad thing anymore. So, you know, by the time it all gets costed out, maybe they'll be out deficiting, you know, the Liberals on this. But they're banking on the fact that a segment of the Canadian population will be up for that. Spend what you need to spend to make my life better, and that's going to be the NDP message.
Yeah, and obviously, I think there is a feeling among many New Democrats that in the last election campaign, the Liberals outflanked them on the left. They came across as the much more progressive party among the two, and it looks like the NDP doesn't want to face that same assessment this time around.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right, and that's where I sort of started. Not only do they not want to be seen to be outflanked again, but they don't want to leave. You know, they don't want to leave it to chance that their message will be muddied in the midst of a campaign. They'll be over, everybody else will be watching this, and the NDP will be over, hey, we wanted to do this, we're going to spend more on this. So they're getting out ahead of the noise of a campaign and saying, look, and I think that, you know, the follow-through for them now will be to hammer on these proposals day in and day out now for the next number of months before the official writ drop happens, so that everybody understands what the NDP stands for, whether they want it or not. There won't be any doubt about what the party wants to do.
All right. And finally, this week, Prime Minister Trudeau will be in Washington to meet with U.S. President Donald Trump. Of course, they will be talking about trade. We expect as well that the situation with China and the extradition of a Huawei executive, Meng Wanzhou, will come up as well. The Canadians that are detained in China as a result of that. This is such an important relationship for Canada and for the Liberal government. They've gotten credit for managing the relationship by and large quite well over the last 3.5 years, with some hiccups and speed bumps along the way. What do you expect to come from this meeting in Washington?
Possibly hiccups and speed bumps along the way. It's hard to predict what's going to happen, but I think the Canadian ask is going to be pretty clear. I spoke to a lot of people this week in our programs on CPAC about what Justin Trudeau has to do when he goes to Washington, or what he'd like to do. He has to make the pitch to Donald Trump that, look, we're your strongest ally. We have all these international alliances that we're part of together. we need you to go to bat here on a couple of fronts. I think the message to Donald Trump will be, I know you're in trade talks with China, but you have to make Canada's case here about releasing these two Canadians that are being detained in China. The question is, will Donald Trump hear that, or will he say nice things in the meeting and then ignore the request? Because he's in the middle of, you know, which, you know, have been some pretty bruising trade discussions with the Chinese. And so in the middle of all that, does he say, oh, by the way, our Canadian friends here, as part of our trade negotiations, could you ease up on the Canadians just a little bit? And I'm not sure whether he's prepared to do that. And I'm not sure how it would be received by the Chinese. And the other side of it is, can he get from Donald Trump a commitment that the extradition process involving Meng Wanzhou is a serious thing, that it's a real thing, that it's not something that'll be bargained away in the trade talks with China? Because Canada's paying a pretty heavy price for following the rule of law and following through with this extradition request for the Americans. If at the end of the day, what Donald Trump's going to do is say, look, that's off the table now, we're dropping the process. Could he ask, could Justin Trudeau ask him to drop the process? I suppose he could. That would be really interesting to say, if you're not serious about it and it's not something you absolutely desperately want, you could do us a big favor by not pushing through or pushing forward with the extradition process, and that would solve a lot of problems for Canada. So I think those are the two things to watch for, what the ask is of Donald Trump in terms of connecting with the Chinese leadership to free these two Canadians, and what's the status of the extradition process? Is it a sure thing, or is it negotiable?
All right, Peter, it's going to be a very interesting week as we count down the final few days before Parliament rises for the summer, perhaps to return briefly to vote on a free trade deal, but certainly, for the most part, to take a break until a fall election campaign begins in September. Thanks so much for sharing your thoughts on all of this.
You're very welcome, Mark, and it's all going to be here a lot quicker than anybody thinks.
Yeah, very true. Thanks, Peter.
All right, take care.
That's CPAC's Peter Van Dusen. Now, here's what political columnists and commentators are writing about today. In the Toronto Star, Robin Sears argues the Conservatives are feeling the heat on climate change. Sears writes, "Conservatives still don't seem to get it about climate. They have slowly shifted away from pure climate denial to an anti-carbon pricing message. They have moved from laughing at renewable energy to supporting a fossil fuel transition, just not right now. Every politician should make no mistake. Authentically articulating a credible path on climate will become the determinant of victory or defeat." In an editorial, the Edmonton Sun asks if Justin Trudeau will call on Donald Trump to help smooth relations with China when he visits the White House this week. The Sun writes, "Foreign Affairs Minister Chrystia Freeland has already said Canada would not release Huawei executive Meng Wanzhou from house arrest in Vancouver. But what if Donald Trump, as a favor, decides not to extradite Meng? Would that lead to the freedom of the two Canadians who were arbitrarily imprisoned in China as a quid pro quo to Meng's detainment by Canada? One can only hope." Now, here's what's coming up on Canada's political agenda. As the end of the spring sitting approaches, the government is working to get legislation passed before the fall election. And as CPAC's Martin Stringer reports, one of the big issues that people will be watching is how much of the government's Indigenous legislation will be passed by the time Parliament rises.
Mark, it's no secret that the Trudeau government came to power with an ambitious agenda when it comes to Indigenous rights. One of those major initiatives has already fallen by the wayside. Last fall, the government admitted it was not going to have the time or energy to completely rethink and reformulate a framework for how all of Canada's legislation affects Canada's Indigenous people. But three key pieces of legislation remain. Bill C-91, a bill to protect and promote Indigenous languages. Bill C-92, an important restructuring of Indigenous child welfare systems. And Bill C-262, to bring all of Canada's laws in line or harmonize them with the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People. Bills C-91 and C-92 have both passed the Senate with some amendments, so it is now up to the government to decide whether or not to accept those amendments from the Senate or to reject them when it sends those bills back to the Senate. But the last bill, C-262, on the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People, is stuck in the Senate at third reading, and Conservative senators are reported to have vowed to use every procedural tactic they have to block the bill, to see that it doesn't pass and that it dies on the order paper. So Mark, we'll have to see whether the government will have to settle for 2 out of 3 or whether it will manage somehow to pass all of its legislation of major importance to Canada's Indigenous people.
Thanks, Martin. Also today, Foreign Affairs Minister Chrystia Freeland will meet with the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights in Ottawa. They will host a working luncheon, followed by a discussion on the global fight for human rights. Innovation Minister Navdeep Bains will be in Paris to attend the 2019 International Paris Air Show and meet with stakeholders in the aerospace, space, and defense sectors. In Montreal, Agriculture Minister Marie-Claude Bibeau will launch the food policy for Canada. Canadian Heritage Minister Pablo Rodriguez will visit Lunenburg, Nova Scotia, to meet with arts, culture, and community groups. He will also make a funding announcement for Nova Scotia's arts and culture sector. Rural Economic Development Minister Bernadette Jordan will attend an infrastructure event in Arnprior, Ontario. Minister of Tourism Melanie Joly will attend the Canadian Council of Tourism Ministers meeting in Halifax. And Health Minister Jeanette Petipa-Taylor will make an announcement in Toronto. And that's CPAC Today in Politics for Monday, June the 17th. Tune into Primetime Politics tonight on CPAC for coverage of all the day's events. Our podcast returns tomorrow morning. Have a great day.